We're looking at events in Syria, where fighting continues today. There are reports that more than 70 people have been killed today in the capital of Damascus. Yesterday, three people, including Syria's defense minister, were killed in a bombing, further weakening President Assad. Joining us from London is Fawaz Jerjes, professor of international relations and director of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics. Fawaz, welcome back.
Thank you.
What do you make of the bombing yesterday and the continued heavy fighting in the capital?
Well, I mean, the bombing yesterday was a strategic blow, a psychological shattering blow to President Assad himself and the Assad regime. But I think it would be a bit premature to write the obituary of President Assad and the Assad regime. I don't see the beginning of the end yet in Syria. I think the Assad regime continues to have tremendous coercive power.
The death toll from the bomb at the security meeting rose to three people, and the third person killed is reportedly the leader of the crisis cell dealing with the uprising. So where does that leave the Syrian government and how they're reacting to it?
What amazes me is that even though it's been 2 days, we have not seen President Assad yet in public.
It's reported by some that he has gone to a palace on the coast, but that's not confirmed.
Absolutely. And where are the pictures? If you talk to Syrians today, they are basically terrified of their shadows. Fear is spreading all over Syria and Damascus. Where is the president in order to reassure his followers, his supporters, to reassure Syrians that everything is fine? The fact that he is nowhere to be seen is a testament to how shattering the attack was. I'm not suggesting that the security forces are not in charge, but the reality is there's a great deal of uncertainty, and the opposition feels that really is a tipping point. Assad is besieged internally, regionally, and internationally, even though he still has allies, Iran and Hezbollah and Iraq and Russia. The reality is, I think if I were President Assad today, I would be thinking about an exit strategy, for his supporters, for his regime.
Where does he enjoy support? What group is supporting him at this point?
His power base is not just the minority Shiite or Alawite community, which represents about 12% of the Syrian population. My own, discussions with many Christians in Syria and Kurds and Druze, many still support Assad. And there is a thin layer of the merchant class, Sunni merchant class, even though this particular class has begun to give up on President Assad. So even though he really does not have a huge social base of support, he still has many Syrians who are willing to fight for him and his regime to the bitter end. In particular, he has portrayed himself as the protector of minorities. And the minorities feel they buy the narrative that basically their survival depends on the political survival of the Assad regime.
Well, Western powers have feared that this will dissolve into a civil war, and could this be happening? Is this happening now?
Even though the Syrian crisis is essentially political, it has become more and more sectarian by the hour. My fear is not that Syria is not at war. Syria is at war. My fear is that the civil war might descend into all-out sectarian war. This is really the nightmare scenario that many of us fear. And there are many signs that Syria is going that way. And the longer the conflict continues, the more the possibility, the potential that Syria could descend into all-out sectarian strife. If Syria does descend into all-out sectarian strife, then the question is not really what to do with President Assad. The reason why the Western powers and the international community wants political transition, because they're terrified not only about the future of Syria itself, but also the reverberations of the Syrian crisis on neighboring states like Lebanon, Jordan, and Iraq. And the reality is, if you look at what's happening in Lebanon already, the reverberations of the Syrian crisis in Syria basically have been felt on the streets in Lebanon and elsewhere.
But so far, the international community has not stepped in. In the United States, has not been involved on the ground or in the air in this conflict, as it was in the Libyan uprising. There, it was one of several countries led by NATO providing air support to Libyan rebels in their fight against Muammar Gaddafi. Why not with Syria?
Well, I mean, I think, as you suggested, the Syrian case differs dramatically from the Libyan case for a variety of reasons. Syria, the Syrian case, reminds me of the Cold War era. The international powers are deeply divided, particularly the United States and its European allies on the one hand, and Russia. Security Council is neutralized. There is no Security Council resolution. In the case of Libya, there was a consensus to have a Security Council resolution. So really, the Cold War basically is replaying itself in the case of Syria. Regionally, you also have major differences. The reason why Syria is so complicated because it's organically linked to a fierce regional struggle between Saudi Arabia on the one hand and Iran on the other hand. Syria has become a war by proxy for regional players and international players, and that's why it seems to me that Assad is capitalizing on the fact that as long as Iran and Hezbollah and Iraq support him, as long as Russia basically neutralizes the Security Council, he can really continue to do what he has been trying to do. And what President Assad is trying to do is to use the security solution in order to crush the opposition. He has failed, dismally failed, yet is still subscribed to the fact that he can still win this particular struggle in Syria.
Fawaz Jerjes, Professor of International Relations and Director of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, AIDS experts and activists gather in D.C. this weekend. We'll look at the lessons learned in South Africa, where health workers have long been doing more with less. Also, we'll meet an Olympian rower who didn't give up her day job while training for the Games. That's tomorrow. Still ahead today, millions of kids who get free or reduced price lunch at school could be going hungry this summer. News is next, Here and Now.